A big announcement that was crucial for Auburn's success now and in the future was made. Let's talk about it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Happy Wednesday. It's Kyle Rush, Zach Blackerby. Still weird calling myself that, but hey, we're gonna get through it. We're gonna battle, and we're gonna dive into it. A huge announcement was made at Tiger Talk. We're gonna talk about that. How crazy that is! Hank Brown, the baby goat, yes, is officially the QB2, and I think that's huge. And I know Zach does as well, for the future and the present. I think it's big for this year as well, not just beyond. But before we do that, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes, Zach. Can you imagine thinking that your money for retirement could possibly be going to Alabama's NIL? Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine, because Ford Stokes manages my money and manages my retirement. And I know that I'm in good hands with Ford.
Absolutely. Stokes. Absolutely. Check him out at Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth. That's retirementresults.com/plan. And you too can guarantee that none of your money is going to go towards Alabama's NIL. And also, he can help you, give you a custom portfolio analysis and get you on the roadmap to make sure that you're headed towards the promised land. That's Ford Stokes, Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth. Ford Stokes, tell him War Eagle, tell him you love him, Zach and I do, and tell him we sent you. So, Zach, apparently we got to start attending Tiger Talk on Mondays, because Hugh just dropped some bombs, dropped some absolute nugs at Baumhauer's on Monday. You had your first episode of Tiger Talk. He dropped several things. He talked about the offensive line substitutions, which was the first time we heard anything about that. But the big thing, the big announcement that I know you were fired up about, I saw your show with Hank. That's really awesome. But naming Hank number two quarterback, the official, the QB2 for the team, I think that's massive. I think it's huge for this year. Yeah, not just the future, but I think it's big for this year. And it now official, I think, is a big deal.
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned it's big for several different reasons. One, the obvious one is what he did on the field. The coaching staff feels like he did a better job than Holden Garner and Walker White. They all went through spring. They all went through summer. They all went through fall. And every bit that we got to see as media, Hank looked better than the other two. And then everybody that I spoke to, same with you, I think I won't put words in your mouth, but folks that are there for the entire practice have been impressed with Hank every step of the way. And I'll tell you what, though, Kyle, I still hate calling you Kyle. I hate it. I tried to be normal about it just then. And
I was
just
like looking power through it. Make sure
it's like, no, I'm talking to you. I think when he came in the fourth quarter in the Music City Bowl, it was really the only positive thing that happened on offense for Auburn that day. I think he won a lot of his teammates over in the locker room. And I don't think he ever really lost any of that momentum. Everybody talked about it in spring that I spoke to, as well as how impressive he was over the summer. And then obviously in fall camp, it sounds like these last two scrimmages, he really turned it on. And props to him. I mean, it was a true battle, and it doesn't sound like it was close, Kyle.
No, well, I'll tell you what does sound like it was close, and this is one of the reasons that I think it's such a big deal, is I think it maybe not have been a close battle between QB2 and QB3, but I think Hank really pushed Peyton. I think Hank really pushed Peyton to be able to, you know, I don't know that it was really on the roadmap that he could have won the starting job. I think he would have had to done a ton, but he really pushed. And the cool thing, this is why I think it's so big. When is the last time that you can remember a quarterback, a number two quarterback, that performed at a quarterback one level in fall camp and could possibly be a starting quarterback elsewhere? You know, typically when your starting quarterback goes down, you like the season shot. I don't know that I feel I don't know that I'm – this could be the – I can never remember a time where if the quarterback goes down, I feel just as good about the backup.
Yeah, and that's interesting, and sounds like that was such a dynamic take that things are falling. No, I think we've thought that.
Yeah.
Like, I think we thought when Bo Nix beat out Joey Gatewood, like as a fan base at that time, we felt really good about Joey Gatewood. It's just like, oh, Bo Nix is just so good.
Right.
And hindsight, it's like Bo Nix was good. And then Joey Gatewood, like, is he a quarterback? Like, we don't know. And then what was the other one I was thinking? Like, we had the whole when the year TJ Finley won it.
And, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just because Calzada's not healthy yet. Or, you know, is Robbie going to come on? At those times, we felt good about maybe some quarterback depth, which in hindsight sounds ridiculous. But at that time, I do think that was the narrative. And now I think we can comfortably say that, like, this is different. But this does feel dramatically different than anything we've had lately.
I have not felt this way about a backup quarterback since maybe 2014. And that was when Jeremy Johnson, you know, Nick Marshall was suspended for that first half of the Arkansas game.
Sure.
Jeremy Johnson absolutely tore it up. You felt like, hey, let Nick Marshall go. Like, let him run. Don't protect him. Let him go balls to the wall, because if he goes down, Jeremy Johnson can come in and be take this offense to another level. Obviously, that ended up not being the case in 2015 when he was the guy. But that's the last time where I felt that confident in the backup quarterback position. This is not just blowing smoke. This is not just riding this wave of Hank momentum. Legitimately, I've witnessed some practices. Everybody that spoke about it said the same things. I mean, there's not many practices where balls hit the ground when Hank Brown was out there. Like,
no, Hank's a good quarterback, man.
Yeah.
And he has been every step of the way. I mean, this is a guy that when he was playing at, was it Lipscomb? Is that the high school that he went to where he played Academy, under? Yeah. He played under, oh my Trent gosh, Dilfer. I'm blank. Trent Dilfer. Right. Trent Dilfer. I mean, this guy's coached up. And when we've talked about it with, you know, Hugh Freeze recruiting quarterbacks to Auburn, but I think he was recruiting Hank to lead Liberty if he was still there. And that's why he was committed. And then he's like, hey, you know, you're good enough. Come on. And that's really like, he didn't do that with many guys saying, hey, leave Liberty and come with me. He did with Hank. Like, he thought Hank was good enough. And I think that matters. I just remember watching that kid's tape when he flipped to Auburn. And I'm like, this guy, like, I don't feel like we're talking about this kid enough.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
4,000 yards his senior year. Like,
yeah, I don't think he lost. And like the same stuff we saw in the bowl game, he didn't get too high, didn't get too low. It's just, he just went out there and he plays football. The word I've used since I first watched his high school tape was moxie. I just think he's got that moxie, that composure.
If there was ever a definition of that word.
Moxie. I've
heard that Hank Brown's it. Hank Brown is it.
I think so. Stoic. I think there's a chance that, you know, if Auburn does elect to go into the portal this December, I think there's a chance Hank Brown scares off a few folks because I think he's going to be that good.
Don't jump ahead. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the 2025.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're going to get to the 2025 season. One of the, you know, when you have a quarterback two that's finally announced, and it being Hank Brown, which is a recruit that Hugh Freeze brought in, it sort of kills the narrative that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, Hugh's only going to play his boy. Last year, Hugh's only playing Peyton Thorne because that's his boy. That's who he brought in. Well, he brought in Hank as well. So these are both Hugh Freeze quarterbacks. This is like the first two, you know, real Hugh Freeze quarterbacks, one and two, you know, quarterback one, quarterback two. So that narrative is kind of out the door now. I think that's big. Now, there's still going to be a lot of people because that's just Auburn. Just they are going to want the backup quarterback to be in the game. He's the, you know, they're always the best player on the team. But at least you can't lean on that anymore. You can't lean on Hugh's showing favoritism to his guys. Hank is his guy. Hank is his first guy, if we're being honest. Like, he was the first quarterback he actually brought him in before he brought Peyton Thorne in the portal.
True.
So that narrative is gone. That narrative should be gone in general. And then when the QB2 is announced, that you get that actual that good mix of they're going to get the vast majority of the second snaps, which you got a guy who's going to be there sort working some with some of the first team guys, but these young receivers that aren't necessarily first team, Hank's going to be working with them. Like he's going to be throwing with Perry. He's going to be throwing with Malcolm, building that rapport now that it's official, not splitting time, not splitting that up with Holden and Walker. That's a whole nother discussion, like what their role will be, but just having Hank sort of in that little sweet spot of, hey, we're building towards the future. We're working with the young guys. We're building that chemistry. I think that's massive.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously Hank's excited about that, and we'll certainly see what that does for his development. But this isn't a guy that just came in and was as effective and efficient as he is. I mean, he's grown within the program. Yeah, totally. And this is a guy who, uses his coaching staff as far as, what they want to do for knowledge. He was very specific in what he wanted to improve on this offseason. He told me on a show earlier this year, it might have been the show after the bowl game, where it's like, okay, cool. Like, what's next? What are you trying to add to your game? And a lot of quarterbacks will come out and say, yeah, I'm working on my accuracy, or I'm trying to get timing down. Hank's like, yeah, I want to work on pre-snap reads and just kind of understand like what my checks are against certain defenses. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's the stuff that, you see the greats do at the NFL level. There's so much. It's the mental game. Hank's got the physical game down. I mean, he's tall, he's long, he's strong. He's probably got the best deep ball on the team already, but understanding what he needs to do from the mental aspect of it, I think that's what's kind of keeping him a step ahead.
Absolutely. And then the last thing that we're going to kind of harp on that I think is why this is a big deal is obviously looking forward to the future. Okay.
Yeah.
So 2025 is pretty much everybody's kind of penciled in. That's the year. That's the year that you see Auburn. You got several years of recruiting classes sort of starting to stack up.
Yeah.
You've made some key portal additions. 2025 is the year. You got a favorable home schedule. You get Alabama and Georgia at home. You're able to hopefully have the talent gap close a little bit more where you can make a run. And I think it's big that Hank already now is your quarterback too, kind of doing what I was talking about earlier, and sort of building that rapport with the young guys. But the big thing is, what does he have to do? What does Hank have to do to sort of sell that you don't have to burn? We're not a quarterback away anymore. I'm the quarterback away. Like I'm the piece, because that's kind of what you're going to be looking at. Yeah, you're going to have to add some offensive linemen in the portal. You're probably going to have to add a couple of defensive linemen in the portal. So you're maybe not just absolutely one quarterback away, but you feel like you feel good at the skill positions. You feel good at linebacker. You feel good at defensive back. You got a lot of talented young guys that are going to be coming up. You feel good across a lot of the spots on the defensive line. So you don't have to bring in a ton.
Whew.
But hey,
is that the bug?
Yeah, it's totally booging. But hey, if you're a quarterback away, what does Hank have to do as QB2 for 2024 to show him you don't need anybody else? You don't need another guy. I'm the guy. What is? Yeah. And again, I don't know what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, some of this is out of his control. I mean, he can't determine how many snaps he's going to get in games this year, whether it's something happening to Peyton or Auburn getting a large enough lead or Peyton underperforming. Like Hank can't do anything to impact that.
Sure.
So, I mean, so obviously like when he gets in, he needs to do well, but he needs to, have some sort of command in practice. But to me, Kyle, like if he hops Holden graduates in December, It doesn't feel like Holden will be here next year now.
Yeah.
Just the feeling. I don't know that. And there's a chance he wants to be at Auburn and he doesn't leave. But let's assume, Auburn gets a quarterback in this class. Let's assume it's Deuce Knight. It doesn't matter. But you've got Hank, Walker, and then true freshman quarterback, member of the 2025 class, whoever you wanted to be. If Holden leaves, like, you need a fourth quarterback.
Sure.
And I can't see them taking two freshmen. That wouldn't make sense, especially this late in the process, unless they just took a flyer on somebody. Or they need to add somebody in the portal. And if you add somebody in the portal, I don't know if it helps you to get some redshirt freshman guy who's just trying to get a shot somewhere else. That's a tough sell for a kid like that. Unless you want to get some veteran dude who like wants to be a coach in the future or something like that. I don't know how you pitch that. So to me, it's like you either got to go and get an elite dude or you ride with Hank. I don't think there's anybody where I'm going to bring you in to compete with Hank. That's just a weird spot for me to say, like, okay, that sounds good. You're going to go get a quarterback to compete with Hank. But what does that sales pitch look like, especially when NIL is tied to it?
Yeah, you have to use a little bit of common sense and understand that if Hank is continuing to progress and he does get playing time and he does do what we think he's going to do when he gets that playing time and succeed, and he's continuing to have the mindset of, I got to master these checks and I got to master these pre-snap reads because I want to know where I'm going against every type of coverage with the ball before the ball is even snapped.
Yeah, the kind of rules. There's rules for each play.
How do you sell that to anybody other than someone that's like the elite of the elite? Somebody that it's – and how many of those guys are going to be out there that's just inarguable?
Right.
Will there be a – what's the kid that went to Notre Dame? Riley – what's his last name? It's just totally blank. I stopped caring about him. So that's Leonard. Right. Riley Leonard. Is there a Riley Leonard out there? Is there a Cam Ward that's going to be out there that's going to be like head and shoulders, like it's no contest that he's better than Hank? I'm trying not to boog too much, but I'm just not sure that there's going to be one of those guys out there. And then if there's just someone that's neck and neck, they're not going to come to Auburn. Like, why would they do that? Why would they want to take a chance to come get beat in a quarterback competition? I think Hank could put Auburn in a great, great spot. And I think Hank's going to scare away, like you said, you kind of spoiled it. Hank's going to scare away a lot of the portal, possible portal targets. He's really that good.
Yeah. Now, just here are a few variables that could come into play, because I think we've seen Hugh Freeze isn't going to pay top dollar in the portal for a quarterback. I think he'll do it for other positions, but the top dollar situation for a quarterback in the portal, it's extreme. It's very, very ridiculous. And so to me, could Auburn get a guy who wants to throw to Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane next year? Like, could they get a dude that maybe would take less NIL to get him on campus? That's the main thing where it's like, okay, like, there's something there. Like, and if Auburn does enough, if they go 8-4 or 9-3 and they bring all this stuff back, and you can make the sales pitch of like, we really are like planning to make a playoff push this year because of these receivers, and you could come be a part of that. Like, does an elite guy look past other things because they want to come to that situation? My gut says probably not still, but I do think it's worth mentioning.
And I'll kind of disagree with you a little bit on that point that Hugh was not willing to pay top dollar. I would say Hugh wasn't willing to pay top dollar this past offseason because he felt like Auburn was much more – it was much more than a quarterback away. So if he feels like Auburn is a quarterback away and the money's there, I think he would go get that elite guy. But, again, you may not have to actually do that. So now you could maybe in theory – take the money that you would spend on that elite guy and go fill a hole with, hey, if it's a all-star defensive tackle, if it's an all-star offensive tackle, maybe maybe Hank can make it to where those positions are what you are away from being able to make a quarterback or make a title run for the playoffs. So a lot of good things that I think are going to come of this. I think it's a big deal. If you're a member of the barnauburn.com, you kind of already know about a lot of this stuff. You kind of already,
right.
You know, a lot about of the inside stuff about Hank at practice. You know, a lot about some of the practice reports that we've had. We try to keep those up to date. We try to give you all the nuggets. Zach's in there dropping dynamite, offensive line intel, all kind of practice intel. You got to get in there. It's only $1. TheBarnAuburn.com for your first month. Try it out. Why not? Zach, can you think of anything better that you could spend $1? What's something better than TheBarnAuburn.com that you could spend $1 on?
I can't think of anything, man. I mean, can you imagine making it to this point of the show?
Yeah.
And not subscribing to TheBarnAuburn.com?
I think that would be, it'd be crazy. I can't imagine. I'm going to go subscribe.
In fact, again, if you're here and at this point you enjoyed the show and you're like, I'm not going to subscribe, let us know. Let us know, because I'm genuinely curious.
I want to interview you personally and figure out, you know, what's wrong with you. No, I'm kidding.
What's wrong with your brain?
I'm kidding. But no, definitely check it out. TheBarnAuburn.com. Subscribe for $1. You get to interact with guys like me, Zach, Dap, a lot of the faces that you see all across Auburn podcast land. And then obviously get some good information and good conversation as well. And then if you like this video, obviously like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hit that alarm bell. We like to go live every now and then, and you can jump on that, get some live Q&As, a little bit of practice reports, scrimmage reports, whatever. We have a lot of fun doing it. And then you can follow me at @_Charlie_5. Zach, where can they find you?
Yeah, @ZBlackerby on all socials, but mostly just check out all of our stuff, TheBarnAuburn.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This was another episode of The Top Button. We're going to be back again every single day this week. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Zach, for jumping on, talking about Hank. I know it was tough for you to get on here and talk about Hank.
I love Hank Brown. That's my guy.
Nobody loves Hank Brown more than Zach. And hey, buddy, you nailed it. You nailed it. So fired up for him.
It's the moxie, Kyle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, guys, check us out again tomorrow. It's another episode of The Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.